You're about to listen to the second part of the panel recording of the Podcasters Unite panel from CETACON 2008. I wanted to address a couple of things. I did post a poll on our LiveJournal about what which episode viewers would like to hear next. And so we'll probably do the Black Lagoon show after this. There'll also be New York Comic Con is coming up. So there's going to be like another ICV2 conference, so my ICV2 recordings will be even more hilariously out of date. Meanwhile, the Reverse Thieves, who are anime bloggers, who we've talked about and had on this podcast before, wrote to us with a special request that's kind of timely, so I'm going to read their email. Hi, this is Alan from the anime blog Reverse Thieves. As a regular listener to your podcast, I was wondering if you could do us a favor and mention a project we're currently recruiting for. If you find our project interesting, could you mention the Otaku Diaries on your next podcast and or post your project information cutting, blah, blah, blah. We at Reverse Thieves are looking for something a little different. We are proposing a project called the Otaku Diaries. We're looking for people who consider themselves otaku to participate in an anonymous survey. We will be profiling lives, loves, and losses of these individuals and how their hobby has related to shaping them. We will also be looking for patterns as well as differences in the cases. We're looking for diverse people who are not afraid to get personal. Questions will include topics like prior relationships, profession, and sexuality. If you're interested, here's how it's going to work. Send us an email with a brief description of yourself, including your age, sex, and location. No names need to be exchanged, and your anonymity will be protected. Create a separate email for this just for the survey if you wish. If you are selected to participate, you will be given a case number to which all your answers will be attributed. After all the data is collected, we're going to be doing several blog posts about the results. We hope to start at the end of February, depending on the number of responses. Thank you. So, the email address is otakudiary@gmail.com. We also, like Anime World Order, got sent a book in the mail to review, How to Survive Harakiri, A Guide to Surviving Anime Conventions, which is clearly a self-published thing presented by anonymous authors. Maybe we'll get to that a little later. So here's part two of the CETACON Podcasters Unite panel. Oh, there was a comment on the LiveJournal saying how CETACON had sounded like so much fun and this guy wished he'd been there and maybe he would go next year. I wanted to clarify that CETACON's a one-man show put on by Corbin, who ran the whole convention. And since he's graduating from the college it was held at, I don't think there will be another CETACON, possibly ever. But maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? I don't know if you listen to Anime World Order's kind of critique of the convention itself. That might be a more accurate look at sort of what was, you know, the ups and downs and the goods and the bad side of CETACON. But there are certainly more interesting cross-podcast discussions yet to come.
Much, and that's probably why. The 6 foot rule? The 10 foot rule? What's the 10 foot rule?
The 10 foot rule is you can't actually. Shut up.
No, enlighten us, Mike.
What is this 10 foot rule?
Telling us.
Okay, well, then I'm.
This better be hilarious.
Okay, well, if they have this at ASIN, I don't know if they have this at Otakon. You come in now!
Stop dodging the question! What is the 10-foot rule?
Okay, well, like, do you guys seriously not heard of this? Or am I, or this is just for
this my... I think that this 10-foot rule is some sort of northern Wisconsin weirdo thing,
okay,
so...
Okay, well, the 6-foot rule to the 10-foot rule, it's like anything on your costume cannot extend past 6 to 10 inches. Including weapons or whatever.
I've never heard this rule before, and I think all of our friends would probably break this rule.
Yeah.
Come to our surviving Comic Head panel.
That whole thing going on. So it's like, you have the people are trying to hold like the Lance of Lochness from Evangelion. They're like,
you said 6 foot and 10 foot rule. I was hoping for some really amazing things there. Like,
I'm sorry.
That was disappointing.
Sometimes a costume rule is just a costume rule, Gerald.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
I guess I should turn this off for a little bit so I can tell you about the Happy House of Hentai. Ooh, they turn me on to hentai news, reviews, and even Hello Kitty.
It's all at www.happyhouseofhentai.com.
All right. So is that is are, have we rounded
entire,
we've rounded this
thing.
Out? Okay.
Have we found enough to talk about?
Oh, yes. Well,
I can bring up random images on my computer.
But additionally,
this
I think
this is an all ages panel.
we were going to have an actual theme, I think, for this panel. That theme being otaku shame, right?
It is
a revival, so that you can shout out your otaku sins and be forgiven.
The thing is that you have to have this concept of shame.
Right.
And if you evolve beyond shame, like I have, then nothing is shameful to you.
That's true. I don't think Gerald has any shame.
This is true. Mike, on the other hand.
Why does it go to me first?
Tell us something. Come on.
You have the biggest hair.
There must be something you're ashamed of.
Sorry, second biggest.
I'm ashamed of. It's just there's a lot of messed up stuff that people would probably snigger at regardless.
Well, I think the theme is sort of like a confession of the nerdiest thing you've ever done, and then we absolve you of your sins.
Yeah. Well, there's like, I think like three major big ones. I'll start with the lowest and I'll work my way up. Let's see.
This will be good.
Yeah, this will be fantastic. Okay, well, I owned two versions of, Ryuhei Kitamura's Verses for the longest time, only for the commentary track on the obsolete version.
That is not very nerdy.
I'm working my way up.
Belong in the top 20 list.
I'm working my way up. Okay, the second one is when I was younger and doing the whole amateur voice acting circuit, I was in a numerous amount of Super Sentai dubs, namely ones for Gow Ranger and whatever, and then I actually sang a song for a French independent tokusatsu film that was rather really interesting because the main character, their ship was an N64 control that unfolded into a giant robot, and they had rowing candles for missiles.
Whoa,
this
sweet.
Is awesome. This is not shameful. Just, you're going in the opposite direction.
This is the most shameful thing. My first actual amateur voice acting thing that never saw the light of day, Inuyasha radio play.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty shameful.
That's pretty nerdy. That's pretty nerdy.
Yeah. Who? What character were you?
I don't even remember. It was all. God, it was so long ago. It was like some wolf guy thing. But I was like, 16 years old. So I.
Oh, you were.
Yeah, it was like Koga or something like that.
No, he was.
I don't even remember. It's like I only remember maybe like two or three lines from that thing, and that was it. And I recorded it all in Windows Sound Recorder. That was like before I discovered the wonders of Cool Edit, which would soon become obsolete. But yeah.
Okay, we've got some semi-shameful things there, like barely registering.
Can we zip down to this end?
Yeah, let's go to the other end.
We haven't heard enough from the Happy House of Hentai.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yes. Really want to know.
Gerald. Yeah. I actually enjoyed Bondage Game.
Bondage Game, huh?
Yeah.
Is that a hentai?
That's pretty shameful.
I would almost say that's almost like a mark of pride to have sat through the whole thing.
Is that the one where they kill that girl and then eat her?
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the whole
the one where they have to come up with more inventive ways of doing enemas because they actually ran out of ways of doing enemas.
Oh, whoa! Yeah. Oh. Don't tell me this.
No!
It looked like you were trying to tell me something. I saw Night Shift Nurses too. Don't tell me anything else.
We should ask someone. Awesome. We should ask someone from the audience.
Well, I can't. It's the nerdiest thing you've ever done. The thing for which you have the greatest amount of nerd shame.
You're talking to a guy who won a fan fiction contest when he was 12.
That's I'm a nerd.
Spoilers.
I was going to say your Wesley Crusher thing, but...
That was my other one.
I know.
God, now I got to come up with
a story.
Different one.
Because Will Wheaton is awesome.
Oh, yeah. You took my microphone.
Oh, it's okay. You're the boss. It wasn't that funny.
I'm not the boss.
Hey,
Clarissa, how would you answer this question?
I don't know. I mean, there's not a lot that I'm ashamed of, but I guess I'd have to go with. I once wrote crappy fan fiction based off of someone else's crappy fan fiction.
Oh, I think
Allison
is.
That's probably. I regret it now, but
did the original author read it?
I don't know. Wait, so was it?
Did the original author send you cease and desist letters?
No. Was it fan fiction of their fanfic or like a different version of? Okay, the same. Yeah. Weird.
I'm sorry.
Are there another two like up the scale, or is that the most shameful thing?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of anything else that I would actually be ashamed of, and I don't know.
See, being around us has tuned her to. Put all of the shame on the podcast already, so not really a lot to confess.
Well, when I've tried to say embarrassing things, like usually it's just not even that embarrassing, or I'm not really ashamed of it.
Aaron?
What? What about you? We skipped you. It's your turn.
You didn't skip me.
You talk about your Wesley Crusher.
Let's talk about Wesley.
Oh man! All right. Well,
I want to know. I've never.
First,
heard of it.
I did win. Well, now that these have been outed, I've had to think of others. So there's more. I won a fan fiction contest in 1993. This was Next Generation fanfic submitted in my local convention contest. I beat out 50 other entries to be the winner. I was 12 years old. In fact, the first piece of writing I ever did, and I think, indeed, I am not ashamed, but extremely proud, the very first thing I ever wrote was Star Blazers fan fiction.
Aww.
And that is true.
Aww.
That's actually adorable.
And I still remember the story. The
who
story.
Was the pitcher and who was the catcher?
Oh, Gerald. Now I hate myself. Way to go. No, this was the entirety of the story. I wrote this in kindergarten. The story goes, Star Blazers fight against people who hate Star Blazers. That was my story. Because I couldn't remember the name of the Gamelons. And so, whatever. And the teacher said, I don't understand what this means. I said, I can't help you there.
That is wow. Adorable.
So, yes, then there was the parody play in 1992. This was StarCon in Denver, where I played the role of Wesley Crusher in their
whoa.
Next Generation. Yeah, I know.
Whoa.
This was before the beard.
This is before my voice cracked. Oh. So, yeah, it was a little different. And, yeah, I not only that, but it got national news coverage.
Oh, wow.
So if you go back through the archives of, I guess, was it TV Guide or something like that? It was one of those, I think it was Entertainment Tonight, actually. You can see me up on stage, like apple-cheeked in the gray jumpsuit, like marching in time to the filk. Yeah, I told you.
Oh.
It was Space Side Trek. It was the West Side Story fan filk.
See, these stories are all awesome to me.
It's hard to absorb all the parts of it. Like, getting national news coverage is nerdy, but I forget the part that it's musical.
I don't know. Am I ashamed of this? It's so far in my past that it's just part of my life, man.
I hope you run for political office, and then they dig up these photographs, and they're like, Noah...
The musical number for the campaign.
Can you trust this man with your taxes who would dress up as Wesley Crusher?
Believe me, if I ran for office, it would be on such a crazy ticket, I wouldn't have any chance of getting elected.
I think that applies to all of us.
All right, yeah, I think that's probably pretty likely. But, all right, Aaron, go.
Lord K.
Oh, please.
No, go.
Well, the strangest thing, I didn't really think it was so bad until the Hello Kitty came home. I had several pictures of Noah up in my house. I was just a large fan, and I needed some inspiration for some of the stuff I do.
Now, is it Noah the man or Noah the biblical figure?
Oh, no, Noah the man.
What did I ever do to you?
Oh, no. I just wanted some inspiration. And I did that. My Hello Kitty comes home like, what the hell is this? She had never seen a picture of him before. That's just Noah from Ninja Consultant. So we left it up for about a week, and she made me take it down. And said, that's just I can't take this anymore. We need to draw a line somewhere. But, I guess he's always there. Even if I don't have...
I'm interested to know what you were doing that required inspiration from home.
You're saying that you found this picture of me useful, is what you're saying.
Yes, indeed.
Well... Thank you.
Yeah.
That's clearly going to be our next promo on Ninja Consultant. Thank you so much for that. Now, why is it? Why is it
this
that I feel
so much
dirty?
Better than I anticipated.
Wow.
It's the sting of objectification. God.
Is this what girls feel like all the time?
Is it a line from something? You're like, Noah's covering his face.
I didn't ever feel real nerd shame until just now.
Oh.
All right, go on.
Wait, okay.
I think Lord K has just won the con. Yeah. If he could win the con, he's just won it.
In D&D, our DM gives other players experience points if they make me turn red. So if I'm either shamed or angered to the point where I turn red, it's 50 XP for whoever has perpetrated this act. So you, sir, you get at least 250.
I just had to get that off my chest. What? I've been living inside like this.
I want to hear Aaron's embarrassing.
Wait a second. How long is this panel supposed to be?
I think you guys told me. Aaron seems too cool to have.
We've got another 2 hours.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. This is 2 hours?
Well, we don't have to keep going. Yeah, we can just show more random clips.
Okay.
But I want to hear
Aaron's.
I can feel some...
Yeah,
let's see.
The stuff I showed last night at Tokyo Hell.
Your Sentai porn? I don't think you want to show that during the day.
Yeah, no.
Do you just mean like the fight scene?
Well, it's just a fight scene. Yeah.
You can just show that, that clip so Jerry can finally see it.
Yeah, so you can finally see it.
Okay.
Oh, are you talking about this?
You're trying to weasel your way out of this.
Well, I think the panel has become distracted. No one's really paying attention. Now Noah is punching me very gently. Something on the way here happened that I realized I had nerd shame about. The guy driving us here, who's the concierge roommate or whatever, we're talking about what anime, you know, we enjoy or that he's watched, and it's an hour drive from Albany. And he was like, I really like Ken Akamatsu, and he said how he liked Love Hina and Negima. I'm not a Ken Akamatsu fan, but I've read a lot of Love Hina almost to the last volume, and I watched the show, and I started to watch a few episodes of Negima, and I read some of the manga, but I started telling the guy in the car without really thinking about it, I'm like, no, that series is for perverts. Like, it's got like that Harry Potter parody character. It's like a Shotokan type of thing. Like, it's horrible. And then he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, no, it's really perverted. And then a few minutes later, I realized, why do I think it's so perverted? Oh, yeah, I bought that Negima Dojin from Japan. I'm the pervert. Oh, God. There you go.
It is pretty funny because he then went on to say, no, the Negima anime is... It's really good.
No,
and it was this very uncomfortable silence in the car as we drove on for about 5 miles and nobody said anything.
No, it's bad enough that they redid it for a second season where they were just like, they fixed mistakes for the DVD and that wasn't enough. They're just like, burn it, we'll draw another series or something.
I know that the guys from Anime Pulse think Negim is like one of the best shows I've ever seen.
They're all a bunch of perverts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are, though.
Yeah,
they are.
They have terrible, terrible taste in anything relating to harem.
I do have the entire series because it was sent to us from whoever, whatever company released it over
here.
We've
not braved it yet.
Yeah, we've not braved it. It's there because we need to have something to threaten people.
I'm still too damaged from canon.
You only did see like a few episodes of that.
I know. Yeah.
It's rough.
That's
I've got the first DVD of canon as well. ADV sent that to us.
They never sent us any more, did they?
They never sent us anything beyond the first disc of anything.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't send us anything anymore now. Because I think that they're probably fighting to stay alive. So
Aaron twisted my arm. We had to watch all of Fate Stay Night.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to review that. You still haven't finished watching it.
Oh, it's so boring, though.
Did you guys actually watch the whole thing? Because I heard you watched a few episodes, then skipped most of it.
Well, I wouldn't say a few. I was pushing for a few, but instead we watched about half and then started to fast forward.
Yeah, I decided we would start fast forwarding whenever the characters are drinking tea and talking about the plot, which turned out to be several
the entire series.
Have you played any of the game, or did you just watch the
anime? No, just the anime.
I like the character Saber in it, but she didn't do anything.
Not carrying the show.
No, she's just kind of there in the background, just kind of wandering around. And
trying to be cool.
She's supposed to be a Tsundere character, but it's
Saber?
It's all Tsun.
No, Derry.
Saber is the one with the blind and the chains.
No,
Saber
is
the
blonde. Saber is
King Arthur.
Spoilers.
Oh, sorry.
No, who cares? Fate Stay Night. I would spoil the internet. I would spoil the earth so that no one would have to watch that show.
Oh, I don't think we have to review it now.
There we go.
I don't know. Tsukihime was even worse.
Tsukihime.
Yeah, that was kind of their other series.
Even the people who are big fans.
Oh, I remember this.
Even the people who are big fans of Type Moon tend to say that the Tsukihime anime adaptation was very bad. So it may not be a fair.
Are you sure that that's not the collective internet saying, "Wow, Tsukihime is horrible," and the Type Moon fans are saying, shit, this is exactly like the game. We'll just say nothing like the game.
I don't know. My understanding is that because the games always have like multiple different storylines, there's too much stuff for them to fit into. I've heard the same thing about Fate Stay Night, that there's just too much that they can fit into everything.
So they decided not to have anything.
Why
would
they just sit around drinking tea and talking about the plot? If there's so much plot.
Although, so far...
John Ryder does it all the time.
We've been watching Higurashi, and so far...
Higurashi is very good.
It's very interesting. Based on the character design alone, I figured I was not going to be able to watch it. But it turns out there's actually a lot of interesting stuff going on. Is there anyone in the audience who has nerd shame? They want to get off their chest? Sir?
I would rather talk about one of our members. He's in my anime club. But not you, Andy. Who would rather look at hentai than... his actual girlfriend. He had a girlfriend. And
sweet.
Why is that shameful?
That seems to be Genshiken to a T. I mean, they all have that problem.
I really love that scene in Genshiken when they're all coming back on the train from Comic-Con, or the show's Comic-Con, and the one girlfriend is like, I guess I can't stay over tonight, can I? And he's like, no, you really shouldn't tonight. And the other guy's sister is like, man, that's kind of like cheating, isn't it? And she says, no, this is the trials of dating an otaku.
Yeah. And actually, what I think is the most touching scene in all of Genshiken is where Ono and who is it? What's
Tanaka.
His name? Tanaka. So he lives so much inside his head, and the only sexual impulse he has is towards this dating sim. That she has to like force him to play it with her, and they're both sitting there, and she's this is very interesting. I understand what you see in this. And so it's like she's trying to use the dating sim as a transitional object between what he's watching and her. And of course it works, and thank God it works, because otherwise, you know, he would remain the rest of his life an unhealthy otaku. And you know, you're really cheering for him in that scene, and it's just such a
very
touching gesture.
Like, right at the very end. I think one of my favorite episodes of that was the one where nothing happened, and I think it's brilliant for that nothing happened. The one where Madarame was sitting
in the room with Saki-chan with rose hair.
He keeps thinking of it like a dating sim, choosing these different options.
And I think that is just captures his character so perfectly.
Yeah.
And the character of so many people watching
and the fact
that show.
It's not a big deal. Like, they're just sitting in a room, but he can't even make conversation with her. Like, he's just like, oh God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really a testament to Saki-chan.
Yeah.
To her character, that she sticks with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on the one hand, it's really, God, would you really put yourself through this just for...
Not in real life. No girl would.
I don't know, because I've known an instance...
There must be something else I think she likes about...
That was just like that. Very strange. This was in high school, and the guy was not super attractive, but for whatever reason, he pushed this one sort of A-rank girl's buttons.
Mm.
And so she was very much... I wouldn't say a valley girl type, much more like the Kogal type, except this was the early 90s in America, and we didn't really have a Kogal, but if we did, it would be her. And it meant that she was hanging around with him and all of his anime buddies, and there was just nothing there. It was like she had come from a different country, and now that we have friends who went to Korea and to Japan, got married, came back with their wives, and we sit in the room with them and are, you know, desperately trying to have some kind of conversation, and yet it's too foreign, you know. It's they don't know enough English, they don't have the vocabulary to, not just the words, they don't have sort of the cultural vocabulary to have a real conversation with us. And just bizarre, because she did, until I left for college, she stuck with this guy. And she didn't seem to be having a wonderful time. She wasn't quite as boisterous and loud as Saki-chan is, but she stuck it out. So
I guess maybe she was really good in bed. I don't know.
It's possible. But in at least one instance, I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
I guess law of averages has to at some point.
Yeah.
law of averages.
I think I keep thinking of this other scene with Madarame where it's like the one where they go to people's houses, and so they go to Madarame's place.
Oh,
and he's got the pictures of Saki-chan in his drawer, and he doesn't want anybody to see that he's got pictures of Saki-chan, so he covers them up with like bondage pornography.
Yeah.
So
he's that is less shameful to have.
Yeah, he's more ashamed of having pictures of Saki-chan than he is of having this bondage pornography. Yeah. So yeah. He'd rather people see that. And I just thought that was.
I think she goes to his house to find the porn, and she's like, not disappointed. She's like, exactly as I expected. And he's like, phew.
Yep.
She says, no.
Yeah.
Genshiken.
I actually bought the series just on the basis of your review. I haven't watched it yet.
Cool.
Oh, great.
Well, we just
spoiled all kinds of things for you. But
it was really.
By the time I get there, I won't even remember.
It was really weird when we did that like episode because stuff came out that I didn't even think about until we did it, which was when we'd reviewed Talking No Video, Genshiken, and Welcome to the NHK.
Right.
And you saw this progressively more depressing view of anime and manga fans, where in Talking No Video, their hope was to take over the world, tokenize the entire world, and to create these theme parks and to bring anime to everyone.
Now it's all self-hate.
And in the Genshiken, it was like, we want to put out a... We want to, you know, find girlfriends and then put out, you know, a doujinshi. And then in Welcome to the NHK, it's like, we just don't want people to hate us for liking child pornography or something. It's it's going so much further down.
We just want to relate to other people as human beings.
Yeah. Welcome to the NHK is rough.
I like, the manga really is rough. Love it.
It's I don't dislike it at all. It's just the manga is like the guys are such slime balls. There's no way.
Did you read
the novel?
No, not the novel.
Okay, the novel and the TV series has a very this doesn't look right. The TV series has a very positive ending, which is really uplifting.
Yeah.
Like, it goes through a really depressing time, and stuff that doesn't happen in the novel happens in the anime series. But I've only read a couple volumes of the manga.
I think the
manga's harsher, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the general sentiment. And from what I've seen, I read, like, the first volume of the manga and watched a few episodes of the TV series. They cut out all of his drug addiction and the fact that he is into child pornography.
Yes.
Like, Daryl really...
It's in there. Like, in the anime. It's in there.
It is.
Whenever I talked with Daryl about the novel, he really plays up the drug addiction part in the novel. I don't think it's that heavy of an emphasis on it.
Well, I'm talking about the manga.
Right, okay. So the manga has more drugs?
It's not a super hard emphasis, but they talk about how he needs to relax, so he takes these relaxants or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So... I believe it's like, you know, it's drugs, but it's like the Japanese form of drugs. It's not like doing coke.
Right. No, it's like mood things. Like his friend from high school is on a lot of like mood medications, but she goes to three different doctors so she can get as many of them as she can. So she is abusing those drugs, like abusing Ritalin, things like that.
She gives
them to him also.
And then now, after that, came out that one manga.
No wonder I'm talking about the wrong side.
Which I'm blanking on the name. The Resentiment, which is
even
the
worse.
Harshest thing. Ever, because that is a guy who's about...
That's the one that I was supposed to read and haven't read.
Yeah, that's a guy who's like almost a 40, no, almost 30.
Over my shoulder?
Who is just fat and ugly and hairy and then finds this
and then he gets
virtual...
a supposed virtual girlfriend.
And then the girlfriend doesn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah.
Like, but even the virtual world, he is considered worthless.
It is ridiculous.
In NHK, he believes he has a... When he plays the game...
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Find out it's his next-door neighbor.
Oh, that's
Well, but it's his next-door neighbor who... Yes, sorry, spoilers. But his next-door neighbor deliberately sought him out in the game online to demonstrate that it's unhealthy to do this. Like, it was intentional. It's not like... What is the comic where... in the first panel, it's some business guy, and he's writing, and he's like... I'm a 13-year-old girl, blah blah blah. And then in the second panel, it's another greasy-looking guy, and he's like, "I'm a 12-year-old girl, blah blah blah. Let's meet up in real life." And they both meet each other in like this dark alley, and they both look at each other, and there's this panel of them just looking at each other, and then they're both like, "Blah ha 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 ha. Let's go get a burger."
What is that from?
I don't remember now.
It's not like
I don't.
Short-
Oh, no, it's not Shortcuts.
That sounds like something from Shortcuts.
Yeah, a bit. One would be a Kogal. So,
yeah.
There has to be a
Kogal. But the Kogal would like knee him in the balls and then run off and take his money.
No, I don't remember.
I really wonder what the next step beyond resentment is going to be, though.
Of otaku self-hatred.
Of otaku self-hatred.
Just nonstop suicide club.
Series where everybody commits suicide at the end.
It's probably going to be like this panel appearing on the internet.
Maybe not.
I mean, like, I guess I wonder if things are going to get any better for otaku. I mean, now we have the whole hikikomori thing. Maybe things will... I guess it'll depend on things, if things get worse or better.
Well, like with the economy. And here's... Well, yeah, the Nikkei just took a shit like everything else. But I'm really of two minds about the way things have gone, because now Japan, and Erin is always, whenever I make any kind of statement, she's like, you know, don't generalize, don't say that. Japan is right now not a very healthy society in that. They have, I don't care.
Are you a doctor?
Japan has,
doctor?
Erin, shut up. Japan has the lowest birth rate and the highest suicide rate of developed countries in the world. And that's not healthy. They're trying to find their way out of this rut that they have put themselves in. And on the one hand, when you have stuff like Otaku no Video that glorifies the otaku lifestyle, it's not really telling the truth, because it is lonely. And there's burning passion, but you are, in a weird way, sort of a second-class citizen, almost self-imposed. Mm-hmm. There's that aspect, but then it's strange how even when these texts like Welcome to the NHK says, don't do this, don't become a hikikomori, because if you do, you're going to be miserable, it still glorifies that kind of ultimate otaku lifestyle, where people can then see themselves in this, like, haha, I'm just like the guy from Welcome to the NHK, you know? I too am the epitome of an otaku. And that's not a good thing, I think, pretty objectively. Like, it's one thing to find yourself in this situation, but it's another to kind of deliberately put yourself there.
But I think it's just one of those things where if you're already in that position where you're that far down and calling yourself an otaku and you're identifying yourself with these other characters, then it is going to matter whether or not someone actually has it written or whether or not you even read it. You're already at that point. And the only thing is you're just diving just a little bit deeper, but it's not like you're going to be surfacing anytime soon.
So you're saying it's not really self-imposed, it's more like your calling?
Yeah. Mm.
I think that's why I like Genshiken, because I think that Genshiken has an interesting balance in that it has some of the negative things, and it does kind of deal with, like, okay, fine, obviously these people are awkward and it causes them problems, but at the same time, it's not completely hopeless, where it's like you're basically just a miserable failure of a person, and you might as well die.
I think ultimately in Genshiken, they're happy. I think,
yeah,
ultimately.
I mean, and it shows that, okay, like, yes, you can be an otaku, and you can accomplish human companionship. You know, that I think it is better at communicating, like, okay, look, we know that you're awkward and it seems like having a relationship with a person is this impossible, bizarre thing, but it's not. It's just like this normal thing that happens and you are capable of it. You might have to work.
Yeah.
You know, you may have to change certain things about yourself, but if you care about that person, it's worth it to do that.
Which is very hopeful, because it is, in fact, impossible to have a human relationship. So, but it at least gives you hope.
Don't you think that characters are redeemed through love?
In Genshiken?
Yeah. When they reach out and they have...
Well, I think that definitely...
It's like the scene you were talking about earlier where... what's her name?
Ono and Tanaka
are watching the dating sim. And when she finally kisses him and it's like the first human contact he's probably had in a long time, his pupils dilate.
Yes,
and
yes, yes.
The real world is he's probably better off.
Oh, definitely. But is each character in turn redeemed by love? I don't know. That's tougher.
I think they're
redeemed by a combination of... Well, I mean, it's not just love. It's their own effort.
Because you don't just have Madarame. You have Madarame and also the stutterer, Kubota? Is that
Kubota,
his name?
Yeah.
Kubota.
Yeah,
so
he's probably
no, Kugiyama.
Kugapi. Kugapi,
yeah,
right. And right, what's his name? The Spaz. Although he's still young, so he has time to mature.
Even though everybody hates the Spaz, I really love the fact that they put a guy like that there, because every group of people that big has got a Spaz.
Yeah.
And everybody hates the Spaz. Mm-hmm. I think if we loved the Spaz, he wouldn't be the Spaz.
And it's also important to point out that every dork is part Spaz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're all of us at some point, for some reason, have spazzed out over something.
I think Mike, you wanted to comment?
I think, too, that it kind of touches on... I think, too, that it kind of touches on this thing, like... And this is kind of like, there's this kind of tension, I think, among people who are otaku, where it's like, everybody has this very human desire to be loved for who they are, and to feel like they are a worthwhile person, and that people should like them for who they are. But at the same time, like, obviously, if you do certain things, it may not be surprising that you push people away, or that people find you unappealing. And I think that... like, when you see kind of some of the characters, like, adjusting themselves to fit with this other person, I think it kind of shows, like, it's not necessarily, like, this great horrible thing that you might try and be a better person or try and do something to change the way you act to, you know, accommodate somebody else. Like, that's just kind of how it is. Sure, the otaku in Genshiken, they're always going to be otaku. They're not going to magically change and stop liking the things that they like. That would be completely unrealistic. You know, Kosaka is always going to be an otaku, and so is, you know, Tanaka and everybody else. But, you know, they can make adjustments, and it's not this horrible thing, because I think a lot of otaku now have this idea that, like, oh, I want to have this perfect person who is going to fulfill all of my extraordinarily high requirements, but at the same time, they should like me without me having to do anything differently than what I do.
Not unlike a dating sim girlfriend.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why I find Densha Otoko very interesting, because the main character in that tries to change. And he tries to change his hair and what he does, and he doesn't, and he keeps...
In the TV series?
In the TV series, okay. Densha Otoko. And he tries to... hide this fact from this girl that he's an otaku.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back to it and says, you know, I can't do this. I'm not going to be happy like this. And then he, like, invites her to his home. And he
shows her.
He stands in his room dressed as he does every day with all of his stuff around her and just says, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. I can't change as much as I think you want me to change.
But then what happens?
I didn't watch the end of the TV series.
Well,
I only watched the movie.
The thing is, I like Densha Otoko, but at the same time, Densha Otoko kind of exactly reinforces that thing I was just talking about, because he finds this perfect, wonderful woman.
Yeah.
Like, she's extremely, like, supermodel beautiful, and she's willing to love him for exactly who he is, and in the end, he doesn't have to change anything. And, like, she just is completely accommodating and accepting. Like, she's like Belle Dandy from Oh My Goddess or something. She's, like, this very perfect figure. And as much as I like Densha Otoko, and it's very sweet, at the same time, it just reinforces that, you know, like, I shouldn't, you know, have to do anything. I think it dodges the bullet somewhat, because the main character in Densha Otoko is not a bad person. Like, he's not mean, or he's not extraordinarily selfish.
Right.
So you can see what she sees in him and kind of understand why she would be willing to, you know, put up with some of this stuff that maybe would be weird or off-putting. But at the same time, like, I think it's kind of iffy that it, you know...
Yeah, like,
I think ultimately,
I think that he is very good to her, and he would be very good to her.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like these horrible guys that you see, these horrible otaku fantasies where these horrible guys end up with these wonderful girls.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't have anything to say more.
You're like, that's all I've got. What?
Hello Kitty, Lord Chaos, do you have any comments?
Yeah.
I was just waiting on karaoke from Noah.
I can shift the...
Yamato. That's all you get.
Oh.
Yeah, that's... I think you guys covered it.